Welcome to Cults of Our Lives. I'm Hallie George.
I'm Hallie Fitz.
Okay. You know, every day with you, I feel like I'm in that Richard Iowati movie where someone's slowly trying to steal his identity.
Hey, he is a fucking brilliant director.
He's wonderful, and he's so funny.
And he's so cute.
I wish more people knew of him. Like, I feel like he doesn't get a lot of recognition in the United
States.
He's
a very underground celebrity, but...
I always thought I would like to be that level of famous. Mm-hmm. Where, like, he'll be like, hey, I love your work, but you're not, like, getting mobbed when you go to a restaurant. So anyway, this has been the What Kind of Celebrity Would You Like to Be podcast.
And also, just a casual admiration for Richard Iowati.
It's interesting we bring up celebrities, though, and I swear I'm not...
You're not planning. Doing this on purpose.
I'm not planning these effortless segues. Because today, we're talking about the big one.
The biggin.
The biggin. The one that everyone thinks of when you think of cults. Scientology.
Dun dun dun.
This is going to be a two-parter because, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about.
Do we need it.
Scientology. Let's just talk. What are your first impressions of Scientology?
My first impressions of it?
Just from what you know before researching.
Okay. If I were to go at this from a pre-research angle, I would say, I mean, everyone knows Scientology is sort of that religion that all those celebrities, like you think Tom Cruise and John Travolta and Leah Remini.
And what's her face who played Peggy Olson? Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, yeah, that always makes me sad.
Me
she's
too.
Just because she seems like chill.
Yeah, every time I stare at a map and I'm like, it sucks that you're crazy when they call cut.
yeah, so, but it's like, it's a cult, but everyone knows that it's like not legit. And everyone's like, this is clearly not a religion. This is just shady, shady shit. And you think of them like, they're so aggressively defensive. Because when South Park did that Scientology episode, they hired all these, like, private detectives to look into Trey Parker.
And Matt Stone.
And Matt Stone, which I believe are their names.
Right? I think we might have mixed the last names, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, like, they couldn't find anything. But, like, that kind of shit, like,
It scares me. I'm scared someone's gonna come after us for recording this.
I know. I feel like if any of the cults we ever talked about would, like, seek retribution, I feel like it would be Scientology.
We're just two tiny girls who...
we can't help ourselves.
...are minding our own business. We're just reading the facts here.
I did karate for many years.
And I have anger issues.
And you have rage issues.
I have on multiple occasions knocked a punching bag off a ceiling.
So, yeah, that's our warning.
Yeah.
That's our threat.
My first exposure to Scientology was that episode of Oprah, where Tom Cruise...
I don't think I've ever seen a single episode.
My mom used to like Oprah when it was still on. Now she likes Ellen. She switched daytime talk shows. She liked Oprah, and there was an episode where Tom Cruise was being interviewed, and
is
Tom...
Is that the famous one where he jumps on the couch?
Yes.
I've seen a photo of that.
Tom Cruise had recently switched to Scientology. He was raised a Catholic, and he was jumping on the couch... And being super erratic and manic and basically was like, I love Katie Holmes, I'm not gay, things like that.
Which, if you ever want to drive a point home, jump on a couch.
I think so. But I remember seeing that and being like, what's wrong with him? My mom's like, it's one of those stupid Scientology things. So I think it was sort of in the public consciousness, as Stassi said, a sort of like a goofy nonsense religion for celebrities.
I feel like it started as a goofy nonsense religion, and then
but
you look more into it, and it just gets so dark.
Absolutely. I get sick if I read too much about Scientology.
Yeah, you were saying how that documentary made you, like...
There's an excellent documentary I'm going to be pulling a lot of information from, but you should all watch on your own. It's called Going Clear, Scientology, the Prison of Belief. It's beautifully made, and it was on HBO, but you can find it anywhere, and it was just... sickening. So to talk about Scientology, let's start with our overview with our man.
LRH.
His full name is Lafayette Ronald Hubbard.
Hubar, I believe it's pronounced.
Oh, Lord in heaven, it's not.
I used to think that he was related to the Hubble telescope.
I can totally see that. How could it be related to a Hubble telescope?
You know, like, the Hubble and the Hubbard, I like, would confuse the two, so I thought,
did not know his name was Lafayette until 10 minutes ago.
That is a pretty exciting thing.
How dare you disrespect one of our teenage French generals.
Was he a teenager?
He was 19 when he was a general, and he didn't speak any English, and I don't know how he did it.
I'm 21 years old. What have I done with my life?
I know. I love Lafayette. He's one of my favorite historical figures. Except for the fact where he totally bailed on his pregnant wife and is like, real quick, I'm gonna go to America, fight in a war that has nothing to do with me, BRB. Actually, I think Adrienne Lafayette is probably my favorite historical figure. She put up with so much shit, and she ran this thing. They would buy African-American slaves and then free them and pay them living wages and sort of set up this, like, commune, which is, like, for them to work on for pay, which was still problematic, but much better than what everyone else was doing at the time, and she was just so cool. Anyway.
I remember last year you went through, like, a solid week where every time I'd come back to the room, you'd be like, guess what Lafayette did? And guess what about Adrienne Lafayette? These are my new friends.
I did not say these are my new friends.
You heavily implied it.
I got a great book called Lafayette and the Somewhat United States. Sorry, anyway, this has been my history digression. My point is he should not be named after someone cool.
Because he is not cool.
He was born in 1911 in Tilden, Nebraska. He spent a lot of his childhood in Montana. He traveled a lot because his father was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He was very into science fiction.
And fantasy.
After he graduated George Washington University,
he dropped out.
After attending George Washington University, he started to become a writer of pulp fiction stories. Do you want to explain what pulp fiction is?
Pulp fiction, isn't it like crime and sex and it's like shock value, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is. It's like blood and gore and stuff. Yeah.
So and it's not like
being dramatic, basically.
It's not like highbrow literature. Yeah.
But those were very popular. Back then they had all those magazines. Ray Bradbury got a star writing for magazines. Like, science fiction was very much like a short story industry at the time.
Yeah. It was like the Penny Dreadfuls, but for the 20th century.
He briefly served in the Marine Corps and in the Navy during World War II. He was removed both times because his superiors found him incapable of command.
That's such a red flag, it hurts.
Well, there it is.
White men. What will we do with you?
I don't understand how every time they have to discharge somebody for acting, like, crazy, they don't just keep an eye on them for the next 10 years.
I know. You know what? We're learning as we go.
We really are.
And look where that got us.
Yikes. So, after the war, Hubbard developed Dianetics.
He developed a telescope. I honestly thought Scientology had so much to do with, like, outer space and telescopes, which it kind of does, yeah. But not in
the way
I thought it did.
Well, that's what its name implies. It implies, like, a connection between religion and science, which I know as the 21st century goes on, many people stop making the jerk-off motion.
That's the blowjob motion.
I was trying to be less crass.
You can't be less crass when you're in a room with me. I will just increase the crass.
So, tell us about Dianetics.
Oh my god, okay. He writes a book about it in May of 1950. And Dianetics comes from the Greek dia, or dia, I guess, means mm-hmm. mind, and nos means, no, dia means through, and nos means mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of deals with the metaphysical relationship between the mind and the body. And it's, like, considered a pseudoscience, because it's not actually a real science, mm-hmm. but, you know, he's really into it. So
it sort of becomes the Bible of Scientology.
Yes, it's sort of their belief system. So the mind, he divides the mind up into three parts. So we have the conscious analytical mind, the subconscious reactive mind, and the somatic mind. So the goal of Dianetics is to erase the content of the reactive mind, which is our subconscious,
mm-hmm.
which Scientologists believe interferes with a person's ethics, awareness, happiness, and sanity. So is that to do with, like, those happiness tests that they give you?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's probably, like, what they're trying to measure, your reactive mind. They call it auditing.
Yep, which I think is hilarious because it makes me think of taxes.
Yeah. So the Dianetic auditor asks a series of questions and elicits answers to help a person locate and deal with painful experiences of the past.
Which sounds like okay. Therapy. But their thing is, they are very against therapy. Because yes. If you went to a therapist who had been out of school for 2 days could be like, yeah, this is a cult and they're mentally and physically abusing you and you need to leave.
The interesting thing about the therapy, the being against therapy, is, well, like, after L. Ron Hubbard, because I think he ended his military career, like, having been in the hospital for several months.
Yes, he had an ulcer.
Yes. Afterwards, he, applied for VA, like, counseling.
Yeah.
Like, therapy counseling. And the person, whoever he was in contact with, was like, you can't afford this. He's like, yeah, you're right. And then from there.
The fucking VA.
Therapy was a no-no for Scientologists.
Oh my god, I never knew that. That makes me so mad.
I just read that.
Because therapy is something everyone should do.
Yes.
And we've both been in therapy, and I should probably be back in therapy.
I'm not in therapy right now just because I'm home, but yeah. I'm probably going to keep going when I'm back at school. It's fun.
It's fun.
Well, it's...
Maybe you're not doing it right.
It's more fun than sitting around with your problems.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But so, that's so interesting to me.
I get very frustrated when people, like, shit-talk therapy.
Absolutely.
And psychology.
No, I was very lucky that I grew up in a family that was very pro-therapy, because so many members of my family have killed themselves or had, like, lifelong abuse and, like, alcohol problems and just...
So it's, like, it's good to sort of air that dirty laundry, if you will.
And talk through it with someone from an objective point of view who doesn't have ulterior cult motives.
Well, we don't know that.
True, true.
Don't go to therapy with L. Ron Hubbard, because you don't want his form of healing.
L. Ron Hubbard founded the Church of Scientology in 1952, and he saw its growth into a worldwide organization. He spent a lot of his time at sea, otherwise known as international waters. He returned...
This man's middle name should be L. Ron Shady Hubbard.
It should be L stands for liar.
Liar Ronald Hubbard.
He was indicted for fraud, for collecting money from these people and not paying his taxes, because Scientology was not yet considered a religion. He was convicted in France of fraud, but he was not in the country.
Do we know what year this is?
1978.
Okay.
He spent the remaining years of his life on his ranch, which was called Whispering Wind.
Oh, Jesus.
He had chronic pancreatitis and died in 1982 at the age of 74. In Dianetics and in the church's history, he's portrayed as, like, a world traveler and a nuclear physicist, and he's super good at poetry and philosophy and an explorer, and that his critics, including his son Ron, says that he was a liar, a charlatan, and mentally unstable.
His son said that?
Yes. The church, he actually has, let me count here, 7 children, and 3 of them are estranged from the family, and 2 of them are dead.
L. Ron Hubbard is listed by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most translated and published author in the world.
Shut up.
Seriously. And the Guinness Book of World Records, he holds the record for the most audiobooks published for one author.
Wow.
So just to kind of give you an idea of, like, how widely spread his... Yeah. That's such a good indicator of that. So he has a significant following.
Ron told everybody in his book...
Ronnie.
At first, he starts out with Dianetics as a self-help system. It's supposed to,
Which is fabulous.
And it's also the way that he draws a lot of people in. And in Going Clear, they talk about this, in that it starts out sort of just, like, motivational. We want you to let go of your negative emotions and talk through everything, help yourself. And a lot of people like that because there's a huge stigma with therapy and no one wants
Especially at this time.
Yeah, especially in the 50s, where if you went to therapy, you were insane.
Yeah.
Like, you were in an asylum. So it starts like that, and then the farther you get in, the more they start revealing this weird science fiction crap. And by that point, you're too far in.
This is definitely, like, not dangerous cult, but, like, the one that I feel like you will get drawn into it the most.
Absolutely.
Just because it's, like, the second they sink their nails into you, it's game over.
And to touch on what we were saying about the celebrities, I was interested in how there are so many celebrities in it. And what they do is Scientology projects this image that they are, everyone who's important in Hollywood is a Scientologist. And that they'll connect you with other Scientologists and you'll be famous or whatever. And that's Leah Remini was raised in Scientology. Her parents were Scientologists and they were told, you know, their daughters would meet a casting director and she would become a famous actress. And she did. So I think that, and then they would send her out as like one of their success stories. Like, we make all
That's
these
like
connections.
The church is pimping out their daughter, basically.
Absolutely. And
that's so
freaky. But then, I was talking to one of my friends, actually, who
you
grew...
You don't have friends.
I have friends. I have at least 5 friends. At least a hand of friends. More if we count my mom. I have a friend who grew up in Southern California, and her mother is a set tutor, which means that she goes to, like, TV shows and movies and, like, when the children, for labor law reasons, have to go to school, she teaches them. But, so because of this...
I can totally see myself having a job like that.
Yeah, no, but because of this, she grew up on a lot of sets, and she would be, like, an extra for an after-school job, and it was just...
Oh, that's amazing.
It was very cool. We were talking about this, and she said, yeah, the thing is, there are not nearly as many Scientologists in Hollywood as they have led you to believe. Like, they sort of project...
So, it's literally just those guys.
They project to the rest of the country, and we don't know anything about Hollywood. We're like, I guess so. They're all Scientologists. But the thing is, she said that except for, like, one minor casting director, she couldn't think of anybody who was, like, a real...
Scientologist.
Like, high up who is a Scientologist. All they have are, like, those five celebrities. Tom Cruise
That's
and shit.
So interesting.
And so, they're definitely good at sort of making themselves seem bigger than they are. And because of that, we don't know the exact number.
They give themselves, like, a cult of personality.
Absolutely. And they sort of...
Fluff
it up, and we don't know their exact numbers because they don't share their exact numbers, and there's a lot of closet Scientologists, and... Anyway, so Scientology teaches, once you get past the self-help stuff, that we are all immortal spiritual beings who have forgotten our true nature. Our true nature and our soul, sort of, is our Thetan. And it is a cosmic source of life.
It sounds like you're saying Satan in a weird way.
Thetan, like I have a lisp. Thetan transfers from body to body. It's sort of the reincarnation thing like they have in Hinduism. And so they say that we're all sort of connected into like this one big, not even high mind, but soul. It says that contrary to biblical narrative that the universe was created by a divine soul creator, Scientology holds that the universe was created by Theta in the form of individualized expressions.
Theta sounds like a fraternity.
Yep, it is. It's Greek. And then they have the story of Xenu, who I believe is some sort of giant monster thing. The dictator of the Galactic Confederacy. How does that not make people think of Star Wars and leave? Who 75 million years ago brought his people to Earth, stacked them around volcanoes, and killed them with hydrogen bombs. And it's so weird and long and confusing. I feel like we could do a whole episode just on the story of Xenu.
That can be, like, a dramatic reading.
That can be a dramatic reading of what's happening. And basically, they think that humans lived among dinosaurs, and they lived like it was the 1950s, but then when the meteorite came, it blew everybody up.
I could see a lot of really dope, like, graphic art.
Yeah.
Of, like,
this should have been just a novel.
With dinosaurs.
This should have been, like,
this
a great...
Like a fucking graphic novel.
Exactly, and I don't understand how more people don't see it.
That's like if there was a fucking, like, Spider-Man religion tomorrow.
Honestly, that would be great. I would join that. I love Spider-Man. So basically, he believes that you, by auditing yourself like we were talking about, you free yourself of painful experiences and humanity and become your true self. And it's called Going Clear, which is what the documentary is named. You've cleared yourself of all this useless humanness, blah, 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 blah. They also believe they have hidden abilities, which can be unlocked. And it doesn't specify what those are, but it seems, because it's so science fiction-y, that it's, like, reading minds and controlling stuff with their minds. And just generally being more, like, in tune with their spirit than everyone else.
I like this concept. See, this is why I'm going to wind up in a cult. Because
we've talked
the
about
concept,
this, yes.
The concept, like, appeals to me.
Mm-hmm. After Hubbard died, he sort of became a Jesus figure within the church. His name and image and writing are ubiquitous with Scientology churches. They built him a corporate-style office within every church, set aside for his reincarnation. For his reincarnation, with a plaque on the desk bearing his name and a pad of paper with a pen for him to continue writing novels. A large bust of him is placed
that's
in
That's like when you leave a plate at the table for Elijah, right?
Is that...
Isn't that a Jewish thing?
I was going to say that they don't do that in my house.
No. But sometimes, like, my parents and I...
Leave a plate for Elijah.
Well, we'll just, like, we'll have, like, an extra plate out. We're like, oh, that's the plate for Elijah.
I like it.
It just kind of reminds me of that.
A large bust of Hubbard is placed in the chapel for Sunday services, and most sermons reference him in his writing. If you watch the Going Clear documentary, they have footage from some of these services, or it's not even really a service, so much like a medal ceremony for being like a super great Scientologist.
And a medal ceremony?
It's kind of like being in a big auditorium, and they give them to Tom Cruise a lot, because he's like their biggest Scientologist.
Do people get medals every week?
I don't think it's every week. I don't know in what frequency these were given out,
okay.
But they go and they have this enormous picture that's like the size of the bay windows behind Stassi of L. Ron Hubbard behind him, and Tom Cruise goes up, and everyone's everyone's cheering and screaming and shit, and they give him a medal, and he gives like this whole speech where he's like pointing, and he keeps calling him LRH, like their buddies.
Yeah,
and
they just, always refer to him as LRH, which I kind of respect, just because I call everyone by their letters.
You call me HG almost always.
I called your sister KG last night. Yep. I called my friend JG. Wow, I know a lot of people with
G last names.
Yeah,
yours isn't so easy.
M&M.
Yeah, yours is SAS.
Yeah, or AAS.
That's what I meant to say. I just stuttered.
Sass or ass.
Sass or ass. Yeah. Sass or ass. So obviously, you wonder, with LRH dead, who's gonna lead the church now?
Notable crazy motherfucker.
David Miscavige.
Oh, my lord. Where do we even start with this guy?
David Miscavige is the current leader of Scientology.
Yep.
I believe he is only the second.
Yes, he is the second head.
He's 56 years old, and he is just...
bad news.
Yep, and he was picked by L. Ron Hubbard. He was a deputy when he was just a teenager.
He was considered a 12-year-old prodigy who became the youngest professional Scientology auditor. Could you imagine getting audited by a 12-year-old?
My brother tries to do that now. Well, he's very, you know, very nosy and bossy the way 12-year-olds are. And we were at Christmas dinner and I was drinking wine. He's like, Hallie, what are you drinking? You shouldn't be drinking that. You're only 20. Do you want to get sick? I'm never going to drink beer. You shouldn't drink beer. And I'm like, it's not beer, it's wine. And he's like, it's the same thing. And I'm like, honey, you play football. You're going to drink beer. I had to like pick him up and be like, shh, shh, like a horse. But anyway, 12-year-old auditor.
12-year-old auditor prodigy.
His big accomplishment was finally getting recognition as a tax-favored charity by the IRS, and he...
So he's the one who got Scientology to be considered a religion.
Yes. Legally, oh, yeah.
So he's the golden child.
He is the golden child. They think he's the chosen one. If LRH is God, then he is Jesus. Let's talk about him and his wife.
Oh, man.
Miscavige is still technically married to fellow Scientology and Sea Org member, and we will get to Sea Org in the next one. Oh my God, Wilmy. It's my favorite thing to talk about, re-Scientology. Her name is Michelle Diane, quote, Shelley Miscavige.
Quote.
That's her nickname.
I know.
And she has not been seen in public since August of 2007.
It reminds me so much of when Kim Jong-un was missing.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what is happening?
But that was for a month.
That was only for a month.
This has been almost 10 years now.
Yeah, that's fucking insane.
Multiple sources allege that she just vanished after she filled several job vacancies at one of Scientology's splinter groups without her husband's permission.
Leah Remini filed a missing persons report for her.
And we've talked a lot about Leah Remini. If you don't know who she is an actress. She was on The King of Queens for a long time. And only in recent years has she escaped. And she wrote a book called Troublemaker, where she talks a lot about just what the hell went on. And it's apparently a very good book. I haven't read it yet, but it's like soapy. And it has all this stuff about like Tom Cruise and what a nutcase he is. And how they sort of bend to his will and like the will of the celebrities. A lot of these like bases they have these beautiful houses on there that like the lower Scientology members have to like landscape and shit and for like him and his beard to live at. Saucy's looking shocked. Talk to me.
Oh my God. Okay. So Shelley Miscavige, mm-hmm. she was like a young member of the church and like she was part of the Commodore's Messenger organization, blah, blah, blah.
What's the Commodore's Message organization?
It's CMO. It's the internal Sea Org group responsible for personally servicing Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard.
That doesn't sound good.
Aboard the Apollo in the 70s.
That doesn't sound good.
No,
that sounds like sexual abuse.
She was described as quiet, petite, and younger than most of the other messengers at the time, and overshadowed by the other girls.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Jim Dinkalsi, one of her shipmates, said she was a sweet, innocent thing thrown into chaos. Okay, so she married David Miscavige in 1982 when she was 21. He was 22. And this is what I was making that face about. She was in charge of, like, supervising Tom Cruise's relationships.
Yep.
So I guess at some point Tom Cruise apparently dated Penelope Cruz for 3 years.
Yeah.
Which is funny because they're both named Cruz.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So I'm sorry if you can hear scraping, by the way. I think someone's getting ice off something outside.
It is so gross out.
It's disgusting.
I could not walk to my car this morning.
I will say, me and Stassi live about 2 miles from each other, and I thought I was going to die on the drive over here.
Absolutely. Okay. I thought I was going to die before I even got into the car. Okay. So while Tom Cruise was dating Penelope Cruz, Shelley Miscavige supervised Penelope Cruz's auditing and helped her through the church's purification rundown program, which sounds not great, which is like a detox program, detoxing for drugs and
yes
shit.
It's sort of, except they're not licensed doctors, so it's kind of like if you lock a drug addict in the bathroom for 3 weeks.
It's just pretty much on par with that. So then after Tom Cruise broke up with Penelope Cruz, Shelley Miscavige interviewed around 100 young Scientologist actresses to, like, find the new girlfriend, which eventually led to him marrying Katie Holmes. How crazy was that?
I'd also like to say Tom Cruise has been married 3 times now, I think, and he divorces every single one of his wives as soon as she turns 33.
Is that true?
That is a random fact that I definitely believe is related to Scientology somehow. And I know it's because he's gay, and, like, they're trying to cover that up. But, like, why 33?
Isn't that how old Jesus was when he died?
It is. But they don't believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
So she was sort of, like, the golden girl. If he was the president of it, she was, like, the...
She was the first lady.
She was the HRC of the situation. And she just disappeared. She disappeared, and Leah Remini filed this report, and the LAPD never acted on it. And they declined to answer questions about the details of this report. The church evaded questions. The church claims that they're false and that she's around. No one, people just haven't seen her.
She was absent from Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' wedding. So that's like how quickly after that she went missing. So apparently Leah Remini got, quote, an unbelievable torrent of attack for asking fellow Scientologists
what
at the wedding why she wasn't there.
We should definitely read her book, because there's so much in here about this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is they can close ranks so fast.
They're like a step ahead, you know what I mean?
Which is just...
Which is so shady!
She must be dead.
I have no idea.
I'd rather she was dead than not, because if not, I mean, she spent 10 years at one of these bases. And oh my god, guys... Are we going to talk about the notable craziness that is Sea Org and The Hole and all the other bases Scientology runs? And I'm just reading this now, and I'm going to present this without comment, but David Miscavige is a firearms enthusiast. That's on his page.
Okay. And also, 1 year, he sent her a sweater and gloves for Christmas.
Since she's been missing?
Yes. How fucking...
Fucked up.
Covering your tracks is that?
Either like, that or so she's somewhere legit. Horrible.
Didn't you say she was in Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
She might be in Florida. That's the thing. No one knows.
Which is so stressful. How in this day and age? It is almost 2017.
It is amazing to me that how do people just disappear?
Disappear. Just gone. I really hope we find her.
Me too. But I also, honestly, I know it sounds so harsh, but I honestly hope she hasn't been alive the past 10 years being tortured. And we're going to get into just their reach in our next episode. For now, we have Ron...
We can talk about this all day.
Yeah, I know. It's so interesting to me. We have L. Ron Hubbard, and he is creating this religion where it starts as self-help and becomes about worshiping a crazy dictator from 75 billion years ago, considering yourself an immortal spiritual being and devoting your life and your children's life and all of your time to making Tom Cruise's life better.
That's about it.
This has been Cults of Our Lives. Email us at cultsofourlives@gmail.com.
Be safe. It's a jungle out there.
Be excellent to each other.